KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas and Specs. How about them savings from Specs? Proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. It's our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. What's going on?
Well, I do want to talk about the practice last night for sure, but there was something in the mailbag that you addressed, and we see this a lot on social media and our fan text. What would you say to the people who do not believe either A, Kevontae Turpin should be on the team, or B, that his spot shouldn't just be automatically safe?
They should have their heads examined.
Woo! Tell me more, please.
Well, he creates a dimension that nobody else does, right? Speed. He could run away from everybody. And if they were thinking of not keeping him as one of the players on the 53, then why in these practices do they keep handing him the ball on end arounds? Because that's a wasted practice snap, right? If they don't think he's going to make the team. And who on this team, other than Aubrey, is a three-time Pro Bowler on special teams? Who's going to return kicks? They got big enough problems blocking and covering on special teams, and now you're going to put somebody out there that you don't trust catching the ball and returning punts? I don't know why everybody thinks he's expendable. He's got a dimension none of those other wide receivers have. Now, is he like a hybrid wide receiver? No. But if he comes out of the slot, they're not covering him in man coverage. They're not putting a linebacker on him, and they're not double teaming the other two wide receivers and leave him to one of those people. He's going to burn them. And I think people need to recognize the speed and the dimension he brings to this team, not only on special teams, but on the offense when he's got the ball in his hands. These other guys, they're your fifth and sixth receivers, right?
Yeah.
What are they going to add that they don't already have with Lamb and Pickens and Flannoy? So to me, those guys are backups to the top three. Turpin is a guy that adds a dimension they don't have at all.
For the special teams ace kind of guy, how many of those do you typically have that are just like they are specifically there for special teams?
I think that they're going to have maybe two guys that make this team, not necessarily at what they do at their positions, but what they add to special teams. I think Marquise Bell is a valuable special teams player. I think Shoddy talked about him the other day. And I think the other guy that kind of fits that build is Maris Leofau. Now, he's not going to be one of your mainline defensive ends, outside linebackers, but he's going to be a guy that'll play on all your special teams. And he's a valuable piece on those special teams because of his versatility. So I could see those two guys making the team or potentially making the team just on their special teams ability. Remember, there's no more C.J. Goodwin around.
Yeah. Right, exactly, yeah.
They're going to need guys to pick up the slack, and those two guys have been pretty good on special teams, and I think, to me, somewhat, they're a necessity to make this 53-man roster.
Now, you talked about it going into the practices yesterday. What did you end up seeing last night, not only in terms of the practice, but in terms of the crowd and the vibe from the team and the fans?
Yeah. I don't know if anybody came up with an official attendance figure and tell me if I missed it.
I haven't seen one either.
I'm guessing easily 6,000 people were there.
Wow.
The one side of the stadium was full. They ended up having to open up the seating on the other side, and there was a lot of people standing on the ledge or the walkway behind the south end zone. So, these people were fired up, and they were getting there early. They were loud. And I think, you know, even though the team was in shells, they kind of react to, the reactions from the crowd. And it might be even more if the people realize tonight they're going to be in pads. Last night they were in shells. So there'll be a little bit more contact today, a little bit more thumping up when they're tackling somebody than there was last night by letting the guy just kind of run through. But yeah, it was a pretty good atmosphere for sure.
Sounds about how many were there for Plano's graduation when my kid graduated last year, Kevin, at the Star. That place was it was amazing to see a graduation there. Mickey, the how refreshing of a training camp has this been for Overshown, and kind of watching him over his career so far and what it's been like kind of seeing him take part in this, be healthy for it, and then, you know, kind of take ownership of it?
Yeah, I think that, it's been, if we want to use the word refreshing, previous seasons when he's gone to training camp, he either got hurt or he was rehabbing something that was surgically repaired in either the off season or at the end of the season. So this year, he was up to speed. He was up to speed in the off season work all through training camp. Now he's nursing a little something. I don't know if it's a groin, hamstring, or whatever. And I think Schottenheimer talked about it one day, saying, you know, maybe we need to watch his snaps. But by the way, that may be so, but last night in the scrimmage, I mean, in the practice, some of his snaps on the first team were going to Jayshon Barham, by the way. They had a lot of defensive sets where Barham and Winters were the linebacker with the first team defense. Now that kind of rotated, but the way I see it right now, that's going to be a three-man rotation at that linebacker spot. And I heard you guys talking about it. He granted an interview last night. And for a change, he said a little bit more than "I play football," right?
I liked everything he said. Everything he said.
Right? I think you get the gist of who he is and how intense he is when he plays football.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how much does that help? Like, his quicker development, I realize still a rookie, but his quicker development, how much better does that make you feel, or the fan base feel, about that linebacker spot and that rotation possibility?
Yeah, I feel much better about it, knowing that if nothing else, they have depth there, but they also have a guy that, if you need a thumper in the middle, he's different than D. Winters. He's different than Overshown, right? And he's menacing. I mean menacing. And he's young. He's just got to get into it. And remember, you know, what you saw in the game, he really had practiced one time in 2 weeks before he played in that game. And he played through, if he still had a little something, he played through it pretty well. And, I'll be interested to see tonight, how that rotation continues, with Barham getting snaps. And it looks like he's probably good to go, on Friday night in the final preseason game. And, poor Saints. I wonder if they read clippings.
Yeah, I don't know if that would work for bulletin board material for me.
Mickey, I'm kind of curious, like, that personality with all the players you've ever been around, have you ever encountered anybody that intense? And here's why I ask. One of my favorite memories is when I was working with you as an intern at the website, And I decided I was going to go ask Larry Allen a question while he was sitting on the couch next to Leroy Glover. And I walked up and I said, "Oh, hey, Mr. Allen, how's it going?" And he said, "Why are you talking to me?" And I almost I almost soiled myself at that moment. And Leroy Glover laughed and was like, "I'll answer your questions, dude." And but that, like, for me, Larry Allen was as intense as it gets.
Well, I'll tell you another guy that was intense. And last night was the first time I've seen him at a Cowboy event. Boy, I can't remember what would have been the last time. Jay Ratliff.
And yes,
yes. He looked like he could put a uniform on right now and go out there and give me 10 plays, right? He was in pretty darn good shape, but he was intense. And as a matter of fact, after the practice was over, he was talking with Dunn. And he was kind of, he put his hands on his chest and was showing him how to get off a block when the offensive lineman's holding your chest, right?
Mm.
And I said, "Oh, that's the Jay Ratliff I remember, right?" That guy was intense, and he could be pretty darn mean on the football field.
I do remember that, too.
Okay, so then you can help us out with this. We were talking about that. I love players like that, but I probably shouldn't have 100% of my locker room players like that, right? That feels like a very combustible situation. What is the appropriate amount of percentage to have those players in your locker room?
Well, I want them on my defense, right?
And yeah.
I want them up front. And one of the reasons, and there were many, that Charles Haley was so successful and how he played defensive end. But the one thing that I always thought was he would do anything to win on a snap. And I mean anything, right? And I think offensive guys realize that. And there was maybe a little fear factor of what's Haley going to do next, right? And so, yeah, I need a couple of those guys, especially up front. Some snobber knockers, right? Just guys that, you know, are snorting and coming after you.
All right. Yeah.
Yes.
And I'll take, you know, if I got a starting lineup, I'll take two or three of those guys on defense, preferably defensive tackles and linebackers. I need some badass guys up there. And, you know, I think Quinnen Williams is like one of those silent guys. Like he doesn't look like he's real emotional. He's real calm, but I guarantee you when he's on the field, it's no nonsense. Right. And Kenny Clark's a lot like that. And I got a feeling that Rashawn Gary is exactly the same. So they've added some guys here from where this team was last year, a week before the season started, that I think will make a difference. And Schottenheimer pointed it out. You know, I've told you guys about how much the roster has changed.
For sure.
He pointed it out the other day, talking about, well, compare this roster to last year's roster, and we're better, and we've grown from within. And I think that's just necessary on defense. You need guys like that. And guys that will put the fear of God in the offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm. You want somebody just frothing at the mouth all the time. Yeah,
I know, yeah.
That guy. Yeah. Kind of terrify somebody.
I remember, I think it was, I want to say, it might have been Jason Garrett's dad, Jim Garrett. He would always say, "I don't want a bunch of choir boys on my football team.
Right.
I need some guys," right? And he's right. He's, as a nice, mild-mannered guy he was, he understood that part of the game.
Excellent stuff. As always, we look forward to your practice report and more frothing at the mouth talk tomorrow.
Yes. And maybe the White Sox can score 11 runs.
Hey!
Okay, look, we didn't have to bring that up.
Thanks, Nick, for bringing that up.
Well, what did I tell you yesterday? I said one day they'll give up 11, the next day they'll score 11.
That is fair. It has been a very drunk series thus far. We will see who takes the rubber game tonight. Thank you very much, good sir.
See you guys.
There you go. Mickey Spagnola from Dallas Cowboys and maybe WhiteSox.com. Yeah, it has been. Absolutely.
You think he's running WhiteSox.com over there, huh?
Man, I thought about making a joke and be like, hey, I need you to cool out on the language just a little bit. I believe this is the second straight day he said ass.
But he's right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You do need some badass people out there.